الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا وقال تعالى قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو يؤمن متفق عليه صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا Respected Ulama-i-Kiram, my dear brothers, my young friends and mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst the qualities and traits that He has kept inside insan and man, from amongst the different inclinations that He has kept inside us, one is the natural inclination and urge that a man has towards the opposite gender. And similarly, the natural inclination and urge that a woman has towards her opposite gender. Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions in Ihya Ulumuddin that if it was not for this natural inclination and urge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept inside the human beings, the human race would not continue. It is through this natural inclination and urge and desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept inside us that men and women, they feel an attraction towards one another, and due to this, human beings come into existence and the human race carries on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about this in many different places in the Quran. So this inclination towards the opposite gender, is there is nothing wrong in this. This is not something which is to be looked down upon. This is not something to worry about. This is only natural. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like many of the different inclinations and urges that we have inside us, He has kept these inclinations and urges within a boundary. Or rather, He has ordered us to fulfill these inclinations, to carry out the urge that we have inside us, but to do this whilst remaining within a boundary, within certain perimeters. And this is the actual test for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want that a person does not fulfill his desire whatsoever. This is not what our Sharia expects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us the ijazah and the permission that you can fulfill this desire that you have inside you. I do not expect you to diminish this desire that you have. But you need to remain within a boundary. You need to remain within the perimeters that I have set. And in doing so, this is your success. This is upon this mujahada, upon this effort that you exert to keep yourself under control, I will grant you Jannah. I will grant you the everlasting bliss. That person who remains within these boundaries, he is really and truly a mu'min and a believer. He is really and truly an insan, a human being. This is why the great scholar, Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that jisko insan banna ho, yahan aaye. Jisko buzruk banna ho, wo kahin aur jaye. What does this mean? Jisko insan banna ho, that person who wants to be a complete human being, who is a complete human being? That person who remains within the boundaries of Sharia. He does not try to become a superhuman. He does not try to extinguish these desires within him totally. This is not what our Sharia teaches. Our Sharia does not tell us that don't live amongst the public. Go and live in a mountain somewhere. Somewhere where you will not feel inclined towards sin, towards wrong. And live your life there. Don't eat, don't drink, fast every day, perform salah 24/7, or remain in the masjid all the time. This is not what our Sharia teaches. This is not what our Sharia expects. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. This is not what Islam teaches. So he said, jisko buzruk banna ho. So who wants to become a superhuman? He wants to become like the malaika, that they have no desire within them. Then he should go somewhere else. Jisko insan banna ho, the one who wants to become a true human, that he lives his life within the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst carrying out his urges, whilst carrying out his desires, without crossing the boundaries, without crossing the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woh yahan aaye, I will assist him. I will show him the path. I will show him the way how he can control himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created insan in the best of form and manners. So we have created him with complete i'tidal, with complete moderation. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. But then this human being, due to crossing the limits, crossing the boundaries of Sharia, he becomes the lowest of the low. He becomes even lower than the human, he becomes low to such an extent that he becomes like an animal. What do animals do? They have no limits. There is no halal and haram for them. They fulfill their desire wherever and whenever they want. They eat what they want, they drink what they want, they do what they want. So Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. When a human being, he crosses the boundaries of Sharia, he goes out of this perimeter, then he reaches the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who believe and they do good a'mal. What are these good a'mal? Are these good a'mal reading salah all day, giving all our mal and money in sadaqah, going for hajj year upon year, umrah year upon year? No. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. This is a part of Amal-e Salih. But another action or another part of Amal-e Salih is to keep a person's urges within the perimeter and the boundaries of Sharia. This is the test for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world. And as going back to what I was speaking about, that this one of these urges and inclinations we have is this inclination towards the opposite gender. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this within a boundary, that you can fulfill this desire of yours. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. The true mu'min, they have attained success, who look after their private parts. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. But they fulfill this desire with their wives in the correct manner, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught. This is the boundary that our Sharia has set, that you fulfill this desire of yours within the perimeters of wedlock. Out of this, a person cannot fulfill this desire of his. If he does so, he is going beyond the boundary of Sharia. He is now inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great test, my dear brothers, my young friends, especially in the time and era that we live in, to remain within this boundary, to not let our... So to have the urge, to have the desire is not a problem. But to act upon the demands of this desire, to succumb to these desires, this is where the problem starts. And in the era that we live in, the time what we live in, the society that we live in, where immorality, where immodesty has become rife. It is the norm of the day. This challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it has become even more harder. There was a time where people lived in villages. There were no mobile phones, there were no iPads, there were no laptops, there was no Wi-Fi, there was no internet. Women would dress in modest clothes. There were no posters in and around, no such magazines, no such things which are inviting us towards wrong, towards vice, towards fulfilling our desires, towards succumbing to our desires. We were not in this situation. But the world that we live in today, the time we live in, the society we live in, from all directions we are being invited to fulfill our desires. Out of the boundaries of Sharia. Wherever we go, this is not a challenge which is specific to certain people. There are certain things that only certain people carry out. Taking drugs, cheating, fraud, crime, being gangsters. These are certain things which are specific to a certain part of society. But this challenge of looking after one's iffah, to looking after one's ismat, looking after one's chastity, not going beyond the boundaries of Sharia, not casting glances in that place where Allah has prohibited, staying away from pornography, staying away from masturbation, staying away from zina and fornication, whether that be a person who is not married or whether it is a person who is married and carrying adultery. This is something which each and one, a test and a challenge which every one of us is facing today. Whether that person is rich or poor, whether that person is black or white, whether he is rich or old, rich or poor, young or old, whether he is religious, whether he is irreligious, or whether he looks religious, that person who may have a beard, that person who wears a jubba, that person who comes to the masjid, the society has become such that people in this living, or who look like this, they are living a double life. They are living secret lives. So you have a person who is in the front saf of the masjid. You have a person who is involved in the work of deen, but at the same time he is succumbing to his desires. His jalwat and his khalwat are two different things. His jalwat, his public life, his behavior in front of others is something different. He seems to be a very saintly figure. But that person in his khalwat, he is facing this challenge. Those people who may see him may see that it is so easy for him. It's so easy for him. He doesn't have the same challenges that we have. He is not going through the same emotions that we are going through. But we don't realize that that person, he is facing the same challenge in his khalwat. That he has to look after himself when he's using his mobile phone. And many a times he is succumbing to his desires. He is misusing his phone, misusing his iPad, misusing his TV. Because all of these things, they are in front of us. No, we cannot run away from them. This is the unfortunate scenario that we find ourselves in. And what does shaitan lead us to believe, especially our younger generation, whether that be boys or girls? We have been led to believe that for a person to safeguard his chastity, for a person to, in this day and age, save himself from zina, from fornication, to save himself from having illicit relationships with the opposite gender is impossible. It can't be done. It's too hard. If you lose the game, mentally, before the match even starts, you have already lost. If there was a person, he is in the ring, he is the underdog. And before the game starts, before the boxing match starts, he already has led himself to believe that I'm going to lose. Will he ever win? Will he ever win this match? There is no chance whatsoever, because he has lost the match even before the match has already started. If we fall to this deception of shaitan, we believe that, no, I can't do it. I can't safeguard myself from these sins. I can't stay away from this. I can't come out of this relationship that I am in. I can't safeguard my eyes. If we are led to believe this, then we have already lost. And this is not the case. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has told us to stay away from something, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited something, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that this, what you are doing, is out of the boundaries of Sharia, that means that most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has also given us the ability to stay away from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the border, and He has given us the ability and the isti'adad to remain within this border. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us this istidad and this ability, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's being unfair with us. Can any of us say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unfair? Most definitely not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most fair. He is the Adl. One of His names is Adl, the one who is fair. So we have to first and foremost accept that I do have the ability to safeguard my eyes. I do have the ability to come out of a illicit relationship. I do have the ability to stay away from wrong relationships. I do have the ability to stay away from zina and fornication. I do have the ability to not watch pornography. I do have the ability to not masturbate. I have this ability inside me. It's all about wiping off the dust. We are all diamonds. We are all diamonds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I have made you the best of the best. Out of all of the creation, the best of creation is insan. But shaitan, he puts this dust on us. Due to our sins, we become dusty. If we rub off this dust, after you rub off the dust, the diamond will start to shine. The diamond will start to shine. We have to first realize this and accept this. And then take those steps through which we can safeguard our chastity, through which we can safeguard ourselves from these sins, through which we can remain within these boundaries of Sharia. What are these steps? The first and foremost one of... It is not straightforward. Like I said, we are facing this fitan from all four sides. It's not easy. It's not as easy as it was in the past. It has always been a challenge, but it has become a bigger challenge today. But that does not mean that it is impossible. But it is not straightforward that you go to somebody, tell him, blow on me, Morana, so I can, you know, all these wasawis that I am facing, all these different evil thoughts that are coming in my mind, they just leave me. It doesn't work like this. Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each person the isti'adad and the himmah. To stay away from wrong, that person needs to use this isti'adad and this himmah to stay away from wrong. And once he makes this effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pave the way for him. Let us go back a few centuries to the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, he was cheated on by his brothers. They went and threw him into a well. Some travelers came by and they picked up Yusuf alayhi salam out of this well. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. They then sold Yusuf alayhi salam on to the governor of Misr. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Yusuf alayhi salam was a very handsome and beautiful man. He was a very handsome person, a young man, full of jamal and husn. A young man, his desires are far more than that person who is old. The wife of the governor of Misr, she falls in love with Yusuf alayhi salam. The women of Misr, what did they say? Ma hadha bashara, in hadha illa malakun kareem. This is not a human being. He is beyond a human being. His beauty is beyond the average beauty that we see in men around us. The wife of the governor of Misr, she falls in love with Yusuf alayhi salam. She is looking for an opportunity to trap Yusuf alayhi salam. To trap him, so she can fulfill her desire with him. One day she finds this opportunity. And she locks all the doors. Yusuf alayhi salam is in the room. She locks all the doors. There are different interpretations as to how the house was laid out. One is that there were seven doors around the room. All of them were locked. She must have told the servants or people outside that you lock the door. She would have been the governor of Misr's wife, so she would have been a young, beautiful woman herself. She was not an old woman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. She started to entice Yusuf alayhi salam. Warawadatu, she started to entice. We are finding ourselves not in the same situation as Yusuf alayhi salam. He was put into this situation. Many a times we put ourselves voluntarily into this situation. When we turn on our phone, those indecent, immoral images or videos don't just come onto our phone. We ourselves download them. We ourselves visit such websites. Women do not come into our face and try to entice us. We go towards them. Similarly, vice versa. Girls try to entice boys. Boys trying to entice girls. We voluntarily put ourselves in this situation. But we are still facing a similar situation, not as the same situation as Yusuf alayhi salam, but around us we are being called towards immorality, towards indecency. Yusuf alayhi salam, he finds himself. So he was on a far worse situation than us, a far more dangerous situation. She is enticing him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and then she locks all the doors. There is no one there to see. Yusuf alayhi salam, if he was to fall to her in her desire, if he was to succumb to her desire, then he was not going to lose his respect. Because there is no one there to see. It is not something that is happening in public. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ, and she said, come towards me. Yusuf alayhi salam, let's just imagine for a moment, if we were in his shoes, what would we have done? We would have thought that it's impossible, just like we feel today that it can't be done. How can you save yourself? It's too hard. It's the 21st century. It's 2017. It's Canada. It's America. It's UK. Yusuf alayhi salam, what does he do? Because he had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He had the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what we are lacking today. That awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me. The first thing Yusuf alayhi salam does, qala ma'adallah. Qala ma'adallah, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am in a very sticky situation. All the doors are locked, a young, beautiful woman is enticing me. I cannot stay away from this situation, I cannot save myself from this situation except with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot do any good or stay away from any wrong except with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we read over and over again, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We do not have the ability to do good or stay away from wrong except with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person reads the Quran, what does he do? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I am reading Quran. I am going to do something good, but shaitan may come and spoil this recitation of mine. He may come and start making me the victim of riya and ostentation. He may make me close the Quran after half juz instead of one juz. So I seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billah. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives tawfiq to do good. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the sahaba that if it was not of the fadl and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then none of you would have been purified. So what does Yusuf alayhi salam do? قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. He seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something else that we are lacking. Our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as dua is concerned. So we want to stay away from wrong. But what steps are we taking? Do we ever sit down in a corner or after salah and seek refuge? When we go to college or university, that, oh Allah, I am going to college, I am going to university, I am going to work. The environment is enticed, calling me towards wrong. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. Please save me. I don't have the ability to stay away from this wrong. I am weak. I will succumb to my desires. But oh Allah, I seek your protection. Please save me from this wrong. This is something that we have to do. Because like I said, we are living in testing times. We have to seek more the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even more so than the people in the past. Because we are in a dangerous scenario, in a dangerous situation. And in this situation, nobody could save us except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Yusuf alayhi salam realized this. Then what does he say? Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai. He starts to think, use his psychology to combat nafs and shaitan. Because nafs and shaitan are giving him thoughts. Just like we keep getting thoughts from all four sides. Shaitan and our nafs keeps whispering to us, do this wrong, fulfill your desire, commit zina, look at this woman, look at that woman, look at this video and that video, talk to this girl and message this person. We are always in this constant battle. So we have to use our psychology to combat shaitan, combat these whispers of shaitan. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai. There are different interpretations of this, one of which is Innahu Rabbi. My Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was in the well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has been so kind to me that He has taken me out of this well and he has put me in the house of the governor of Misr. How then can I go against his commandments? This is something that we have to think about, my dear brothers, my young friends. Think about the in'amat and the ihsanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad Salim Dorat Hafidhahullah, he always mentions that we should take out time, dedicate time every day, if not every day, then every week, if not every week, then every month, and just think for a few moments upon the bounties and blessings and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The in'amat and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we were and where we are today. Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who took you out from the wombs of your mother. La ta'lamuna. Let's move on. Before this, who was the one who looked after us in the womb of our mother? Was there any doctor there? No doctor could do anything. Was there any machine which made us grow? When we were born, we can even connect our growing up to our parents. But before we came into this world, who was it who looked after us in the womb of our mother? Do we ever think about this? Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you out from the wombs of your mother. La ta'alamuna shay'a. You did not know anything. You did not know how to say one word. You did not know how to express your desires and your needs and your wants. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the ability to hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the ability to see. وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. He gave you intellect and aql. Such a great bounty and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just look at our organs. The ability to see. If we want to realize how valuable this ni'mah is, let's just keep our eyes closed. Not for 1 month. Not for 1 week. Not for 1 day. Just for a few hours. Close our eyes and see how the world is around us. Just try to maneuver, do our day-to-day activities with our eyes closed. We wouldn't even be able to get to the toilet when we wake up in the morning. Where we would end up and what would happen to us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us these eyes. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to speak, to express our inner feelings. If we did not have this ability, how would we be able to speak? والأبصار والسمع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the ability to hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants us ni'mat upon ni'mat. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this food that has come on your plate, do you ever think? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Where has this food come from? How many stages has this food gone through to get to your plate? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. He thinks that I have gone to the shop and bought this. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. We send down the rain. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. We send down the rain. Is there any power, any government in the world today who can bring down rain? If the rain was to stop, any superpower in the world, any machine, is there any machine? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to stop the system of the rain, nobody can bring this system back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send down the rain. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. We split the earth. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. And when the seed was put into the land and we cultivated this seed. And all of these different things came out in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different things that grow from the land. Why is all of this? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. This is for you and for your animals. An Urdu poet, he says, یہ کھیتیا سرسبز ہے تیری غذا کے واسطے چاند سورج اور ستارے ہے ضیاء کے واسطے یہ سارا جہاں تیرے لیے اور تو خدا کے واسطے. یہ کھیتیاں سر سبز ہے تیری غذا کے واسطے. حضرت مولانا قاسم نانوتوی رحمہ اللہ, he says that the whole world is in the khidma of mankind. If you look at the different things in this world, he discusses that how he proves through aql that the hereafter exists. What does he say? That if you look at all of the different things in this world, they are not in need of the humans. The trees are not in need of us. The water is not in need of us. The land is not in need of us. The clouds are not in need of us. Oxygen is not in need of us. The animals, they are not in need of us. All of these different things that we see around us, they are not in need of us. But if we look at ourselves, we are in need of all of these things. We are in need of the cloud. We are in need of rain. We are in need of water. We are in need of fire. We are in need of clouds. We are in need of animals. We are in need of insects. So he says that all of these things have been created for the khidmah and service of mankind. And mankind, he has been created for the khidmah and service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This whole world, ye khetiya sar sabze hai, teri ghiza ke waste, for us. Chand, suraj aur sitare hai ziya ke waste, the earth, the moon, the sky, the stars, the sky, the orbit. All of this is for us. Ye sara jahan tere liye aur tu khuda ke waste. This whole world is for you and you are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is to remain within the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If we think about the ni'mats and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, then this will create and increase the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. And when a person loves someone, then he will not disobey them. That student who loves his ustad, he will not disobey the ustad. He will act upon everything that the ustad and teacher tells him. That son, that daughter who loves his or her father and mother, they will not go against the wish of their parents. They will make sure that they do everything that pleases their parents and they stay away from all of that which displeases the parents. If we also acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by thinking about his bounties, what is it that creates love inside a person? For his parents, he thinks that my parents have done so much for me. They feed me, they clothe me, they pay my school fees, my madrasa fees, they look after me, they give me love, they give me attention. If it was not for them, I would not have been here today. And this, when a person starts to think, then he starts to love his parents more and more. The husband, the more he thinks about the ihsanat and favors of his wife, his love increases. The wife, the more she thinks about the favors of her husband upon her, her love increases. The more we start to think about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our heart. So from today, we should all make this intention that if not every day, if not once a week, if not then once a month, we will sit down for 10, 15 minutes and just think. There's so many things to think about. So many different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given insan. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin. These cars that we see outside, they weigh so much more than us. They are made of metal and iron and whatnot is inside there. But whose control is the car in? Our control. The car is more powerful than us, it weighs more than us. We move the car where we want. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha. We pray this dua. That glory be to that Lord who has made this car subservient to us. The animals, the camel, the elephant, they are so much more powerful than us. They weigh so much more than us, but they work on the ishara, as the master tells it to do. Who has given us these ni'mats? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. So many bounties, so we should think about the ihsanat. This will stop us from going beyond the limits as far as our desires are concerned. This will help us stay within the limits, within the boundaries and perimeters of Sharia. Because we will start to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwaya. I can't go against the orders of my Rabb. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, he mentions in his tafsir that when Zulaykha called Yusuf alayhi salam towards this wrong, then in that room there was a statue, a small statue, she covered it up. And she covered this statue up, so he asked her that, what are you doing? She said that I feel ashamed and embarrassed to commit this act in front of this idol. Yusuf alayhi salam said that my Rabb, he is more worthy that I be embarrassed and ashamed of him. This is a statue. What significance does it hold? My Rabb has done so much for me. This is what is known as haya in the terminology of Sharia. That a person, he thinks about the ihsanat and favors of Allah, and he reminds himself that Allah that has done so much for you, why are you going against his commands? Then Yusuf alayhi salam says, innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. He starts to think about the future. That this woman, she is enticing me. If I succumb to my desire, then I will get 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of pleasure. The sins that we commit that are to do with love and lust, how long does the pleasure last? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour? All of these different sins, they have a temporary pleasure. For a person to be able to control himself, he has to look beyond that. He needs to think that what is there for me after this pleasure? What is the outcome of this pleasure? What will the outcome be of this in the next life? Should I give tarjih and preference to these a few moments of pleasure? Should I give up my Jannah? Should I give up the bounties and blessings of Jannah because of this? If a person uses his intellect, then he will come to this conclusion that no. How can I do this? If I do this, then I am the most foolish of people. That I am giving up my Jannah for a few minutes of watching this video. For a few minutes of fulfilling my sexual desire. For a few minutes of committing zina and fornication. In return for this, I am selling my Jannah. I am giving up my Jannah. It is mentioned in the books that there was a person, he fell in love with a woman. He was running after her all the time. As we have our young boys, younger generation today, they are always running after this girl and that girl. Somehow he managed to get her in his grips. And she was now ready to fulfill his desire. This young man, he was just about to fulfill his desire with her. Just about to. So he's waiting for this moment for such a long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance comes to him. Sometimes, my dear brothers, when we are committing these acts and we are doing these wrong things, then even then at that moment that thought comes to us, no, you shouldn't do this. What are you doing? But what do? We ignore this. It doesn't matter. Chal jayega. It's okay. I also perform salah, I do this, I do that, I give sadaqah. We'll see. Dekha jayega later on. So our iman, the good that we are doing, it is going in vain because of the wrong that we are doing. Islam has to be complete. That does not mean that if it's incomplete, you give up. But the effort should be that it should be complete. Not that we are also trying to please Allah and we are also trying to please Shaitan. Haj Kaaba ka bhi kiya, Ganga ka usnan bhi. Khush rahe Rahman, razi rahe Shaitan bhi. You can't play this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, he was in this moment and this thought came to him. That how foolish am I? I am selling my Jannah for these a few moments of pleasure. What am I doing? He straight away stood up from that place and said, sorry, I don't want to commit this act. Khuda Hafiz, go from here. Because he reminded himself of the future. He did not look at this temporary pleasure of these a few minutes and a few moments. He thought about what is going to happen later on. He thought about the day of judgment. He thought about his qabr. He thought about the day of judgment. He thought about Jannat and Jahannam. What he is giving up, what he is losing, the loss that he is making. If a person thinks in this manner, then he will be able to control his desires. He will be able to control his lust. All of these sins that we commit, what benefit do they give? It's just a few moments of pleasure. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub, rahimahullah, he used to say, Hazze gunah mein, guna jab kar chuka, phir kuch nahi. Ek zara si der ka hai ye maza, phir kuch nahi. Hazze gunah mein, that moment when you really feel like doing something wrong, you think that let me just do it this once, so this fire that is burning inside me of shahwa, of fulfilling my desire, I can extinguish this. Hazze gunah mein jab gunah tu kar chuka, phir kuch nahi. After you finish this wrong, after you carry out this act, what do you get? Think for a moment, the amount of times that we would have done wrong. What do we achieve after it? Phir kuch nahi, nothing. Ek zara si der ka hai ya maza, phir kuch nahi. A few moments of pleasure and then you get nothing in return. Rather, you feel dirty about yourself. You feel that, you know, why should a person who has iman, when he looks back at the wrong that he does, he thinks that me, someone like me, looking at filthy videos, committing zina, talking and sending such messages, sending such videos, sending such pictures to others. How can I do this? So the person, he enjoys the moment and when he looks back at it, then he regrets. So we need to look beyond this dunya, my dear brothers. We need to think about the hereafter. We need to think about the consequences of the actions that we are doing today. It is mentioned that there was a person by the name of Ubayd bin Umair who used to live in Makkah Mukarramah. There was a woman in Makkah Mukarramah who was very pretty. She was given much beauty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she was proud of her beauty. She said to her husband one day that I am so beautiful that do you think that any man, if I try to entice him, he will not take up my offer? So he said to her, yes, there is one person I know that if you try to entice him, he will not take up your offer. His name is Ubayd bin Umair. She said that, no, trust me, he will fall to my tricks. And she went and found Ubayd bin Umair and went to his house. Ubayd bin Umair, she went to his house. She knocked on his door. She lifted up her niqab. She was a very pretty woman, a very beautiful woman. She said to her that I have fallen in love with you. And I want to fulfill my desire with you. So Ubayd bin Umair, who was a pious man, he had taqwa in his life. He had the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that maybe nobody is here, nobody is watching, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is watching over me. My dear brothers, when we sit in our homes, we close the curtains, we close the doors, we put passwords on our phones, on our laptops, on our iPads, so our wives or our parents cannot see, and we think that nobody knows what I am up to, nobody knows what I am doing. Who is going to see me here? I am in the darkness of the night. And I will be able to keep my name also. We hide under our beards. We live a double life. A person, he has a beard, he's wearing a jubba, he's going out in jamaat, he's visiting the ulama. But at the same time, behind closed doors in his khalwat, he is committing wrong acts. And he thinks that nobody is here to watch me. Who will take away my izzat and my respect? Yes, you may have izzat and respect today. It is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has not exposed you. But a day is going to come. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. This very same land that we are committing wrong acts on, these very same hands that we are using to move the mouse here and there, to send this message and that message, to take this video and that video, these very same limbs and organs of our body, they will testify against us on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. When they will come towards Jahannam, when they will come on the Day of Judgment, شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That person's eyes, his ears, his body, his limbs and his organs, they will testify against him. This person will say that لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. What are you doing? We are all a part of one team. We are all one body. Why are you giving testimony against me? Why are you testifying against me? What are you doing? These limbs of ours that we use to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill our desires in unlawful manner. And this has become the trend. This vice has, like I said in the beginning, everyone has become a victim of this. Everyone, young, old, rich, poor, third world countries, advanced countries, those people who look religious, those people who are not, everyone. Let us look into our own lives, my dear brothers. We may be able to cheat the public today. We may be able to cheat our family members. We may be able to cheat our students. We may be able to cheat our parents. But we can never cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قالوا أنتقن الله الذي أنتق كل شيء وهو خلقكم أول مرة. These limbs and these, they will say that أنتقن الله. We are limbs, we do not have the ability to speak. But that Allah who gives each and everything the ability to speak. In the dunya, He gave the tongue the ability to speak. Today He has given us the ability to speak. And we are testifying against you. We are testifying against you. Our very own limbs, who we think to be a part of our team. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, he used to say that all the creation of Allah, they are the CID. They are the CCTV cameras. You can't put a cloth in the dunya, in your room or wherever you are, you can cover the CCTV. You can cover the camera. But the camera of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can never cover. You can never run away from this. Jo kuch tu karta hai, chup chup ke ahle jahan se, koi na koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. Jo kuch tu karta hai chup chup ke ahle jahan se. You hide from the dunya. We hide within our passwords so nobody can get into our phone. They don't know who we are messaging, who we are talking to, who we are sending videos to, whose videos we are receiving, what websites we are visiting. We can delete the history. We can delete the history. We can find the most best of software that nobody can get into our internet usage, what we have been watching, what we have been up to. Yes, we may be able to do this, but the malaika who are noting down our bad actions and evil actions, those who are working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is only one way to delete their history, and that is through tawbah. That is through sincere repentance. Otherwise, you can do whatever you want. You will never be able to delete their history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring this back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on the Day of Judgment. We will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. What sort of a book is this? What sort of a file is it? Has everything inside. Everything, that thing which I did in the darkest of places, in the most secret of places, under the most secretive of passwords, which I did, which I thought that nobody knew. This is here. It is in my book of deeds. And we will be told, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Read your own book. We don't need to tell you your history. You read it for yourself and you decide, do you belong to Jannat or do you belong to Jahannam? Hazrat Ubayd bin Umair, he said to this woman, that I will fulfill your desire, no problem. I only have a few questions, you answer them and then we will move forward. She said, okay, no problem, go ahead. Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah, he said to this woman, that if death, the Malakul Maut was to come at this moment, and the time for you to depart from this world had come, would you want to fulfill your desire with me? She obviously said, no, I wouldn't. How could I do this at a time when Malakul Maut is coming? We should think in this manner ourselves. How do we know when we are going to die? We could die committing these sins, watching these wrong, and people have died. It is not something that cannot happen or that has not happened. She said no. Ubayd bin Umair then said to her that if you were put inside your grave, in the darkness of your grave, you were lying there. Would you want to carry out your desire with me? So she thought for a moment about the darkness of the grave, how small this place is, and the scenes of the grave. And she said, no, I wouldn't want to carry out this act. He said, let's move on. Third question. You are on the day of judgment. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hisab and kitab is taking place. Would you want to carry out this act at that moment? She said, no, I would not want to do this. He said, last question. You are on the pul sirat, right on the bridge, which is the difference between if you fall down, you are in Jahannam. If you cross this bridge, you are in Jannat. Would you want to carry out this act? She said, no, I would not want to do this act. I would not want to do this act. So he said to her that if you are saying no in all of these situations, I said to you that if you say yes, you answer these questions, then I will fulfill my desire with you. But you are saying no. And I have more questions, you will say no upon all of them. Hence, I cannot fulfill my desire with you. And she also realized her mistake. She realized the wrong. She was a woman who would look in the mirror every day. She was worried about her looks. Her husband says that Ubayd bin Umair, he turned my wife into a rahiba. I sent him to her to trick him and to see if she can entice him. He turned her into a rahiba because he made her think that this is the thing that we have to think about, my dear brothers. We have to think about the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was shown in a dream, the ahwal of qiyamah. He says that I was taken to a place and I saw some people in a clay oven, in a tannur. They were screaming loud. And a fire was coming from the bottom which was raising up, and they would come up and then go down. They were screaming, such screams that the like of which you would not hear in the dunya. I went round my chakkar, and then Jibreel alayhi salam, he informed me about these different people. And he said that person that you saw, those people that you saw in that tannur, in that clay oven or in that big oven who were being burnt from the bottom, فَذَلِكُمُ الزَّوَانِ وَالزُّنَاتِ. They are those people who would commit zina in the world, who would fulfill their desires, who would go out of the boundaries of Sharia. Zina is of many types. The lowest is that a person, he glances lustful gazes. He looks at that which he's not supposed to look at. Then a person touches that which he's not supposed to touch. He walks towards that which he's not supposed to walk towards. And the worst case scenario is that he actually commits the act of zina. This is the punishment that a person will face in Jahannam. And on the other hand, that person who controls his nafs, that person who controls his desire inside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. This mujahada that we do for a few days, for 1 year, for 5 years, for 10 years, for as long as we live in the dunya, it is not forever. Maximum 100 years you will live. So 100 years of mujahada, let's assume. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. That person who fears standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he controls his nafs. His nafs wants to take him out of this border, out of these perimeters of Sharia. His nafs is telling him to look at indecent images. His nafs is telling him to message this girl or that boy. His nafs is telling him to fulfill his sexual desire out of wedlock, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ He controls his nafs. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى He will be given Jannah in return. He will be given Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasures of Jannah will never end. There is only happiness in Jannah. There is no sadness. There is only rest in Jannah. There is no tiredness. There is only ni'mats in Jannah. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ No soul knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept hidden for him in Jannah. So my dear brothers, my young friends, my dear sisters and mothers, this challenge that we are facing, we need to believe in ourselves that we can beat shaitan. And we need to take those steps that allow us to control that make it easy for us to control our desires. Use that ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And lastly, before I finish, stay away from all those things which incite your lust, which incite your desires. We can still live if we don't have a certain type of phone. That doesn't mean we're going to stop breathing. That doesn't mean that our life is going to turn upside down. If we know that this phone is landing me in trouble, this iPad or this thing or this Wi-Fi that I have on in my house at a certain time, or this seclusion that I am adopting, it is landing me in trouble. Every time I lock my door or I close the curtains, I do this wrong. Then don't put yourself in that situation. If you know that a certain place or a certain part of the city going to it will incite your desires, then don't go there. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ Stay inside your home. Keep yourself away from those things which incite your desires. So we should stay away from these things, especially the internet. Obviously, we need to use it sometimes, but we should keep our usage in such a manner that it is monitored. And I will tell all the parents here, I will appeal to you that look after your children. They may be innocent today, but tomorrow they will land themselves in trouble and we will be responsible for this. Don't turn a blind eye. Don't think or don't remain ignorant of what is happening in the world. If you have Wi-Fi in your home, if you have internet in your home, turn it off at a certain time. There are parental controls. There are all sorts of things that you can do. If you don't need Wi-Fi, you can live without it. Don't think shaitan has made us believe that you have to have this. You have to have this type of phone. You have to have this tablet. You have to go to this place. If we can do it, remaining in the boundaries of Sharia, alhamdulillah. But we should look after our children. We should try to behave, make sure that we curb their desires. We keep them away from the ills of society. If you give your children, if they need to do their homework, they need to use the internet, they need to have a mobile phone, many of them don't. But we give it to them. And we allow them to use these things freely. We allow them to go wherever they want. Our young daughters and girls, they are out at night. Boys, it's not only that girls are not allowed to go out. Young boys are out 12, 1 o'clock at night. The parents are unaware of what is happening. One tafsir I was reading, and the person he wrote in there, that Sulaiman alayhi salam, it is said that وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدُودِ That he lost one of his birds. So he started looking that, where is Hudud gone? The Mufassid, the person who's writing, he said that people's children remain out of the home for hours upon hours, night upon night, and the parents, this Sulaiman salam is worried about his bird. And people are not worried about their own children, where they are, what they are up to, what they are doing. And we give them these gadgets and these things, and we don't monitor what they are doing, what they are watching, who they are talking to. And we allow them to fulfill. Then obviously they're going, when the desire is there, the fire is burning, then they want to extinguish it. So we should stay away from all those things that incite our desires and use the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and thereafter all of you the tawfiq and ability to understand these a few words that I had to share with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all types of vices and sin. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ameen bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.